Our first VE Day memory is from Charles Dennis, who was aged 14 in 1945. He was a patient at Beauthorpe Hospital when peace in Europe was declared. He heard car horns blowing and factory hooters blaring. The nurse told us the war was over and tonight you will all have a special treat for tea, he said. I was very happy at the news, but also disappointed that no more would I have the boyish thrill of seeing the searchlights looking for enemy planes, flares being dropped, and the exciting search for shrapnel in bomb craters the next day. My disappointment, however, was blown away at tea time when before us, for the first time since rationing began, was ice cream.
Ice cream? What a treat. Now, here are some of the letters received at the evening news during the past week. Dudley James, from Reefham, has some VE Day memories. It might be of interest to some of your readers of my memory of VE Day. On May the 8th, 1945, as a seven-year-old, I was making my daily two-mile trek to Guestwick Primary School when I heard a plane high in the sky. I watched as the pilot made a huge vapour VE above me. I certainly didn't realise the significance of what I had witnessed at the time.
Diane Lees from Eton knows the rain will return. Our beautiful country is experiencing yet again its unfortunate spring drought. Our farmers are suffering greatly, concerned for their crops, but most important, the well-being of their livestock who are grazing from arid fields. Many keen gardeners are bemoaning their once perfect lawns, if not watered regularly, and their expensively stocked stonework containers filled with annuals or lucky perennials that survived winter. When Sir Bob Geldof arranged and delivered the first Band-Aid recording in the heady 1980s, Christmas and a lack of water being the theme, it had a memorable impact on myself. The medley of iconic music stars of several generations came together to help people suffering from a simple lack of clean water. His genuine sincerity and desire to help those who were truly suffering through the most basic need for all of us was outstanding. Most of the lyrics are still somewhere in my head. Since then, there has certainly been more assistance for countries which were referred to then as Third World, but sadly their immensely tragic struggle is ongoing. Personally, my feeling is the need to look outside our own world sometimes. We all know that rain will come here, festivals, meticulously planned events, and sadly the children's summer holidays. It's cooling down soon. The saying from my grandma, ne'er a cast a clout, etc., has stayed with me and always will.
Canon Peter Halls from Western Longville recalls a close shave at a railway halt. The article in this newspaper about the railway station at Burney Arms reminded me of a close shave in 1950. Our family lived at Lingwood at the time, and my mother and I went to Yarmouth for the evening. I think it was to see a film. We travelled to Yarmouth from Lingwood by the Acol line. However, we could not return by that route because the train stopped at 9:30. Instead, we planned to come home by the train that came via Reedham. It was arranged that my father would pick us up from Buckenham Station, not too far from Lingwood. It was winter time and pitch black. As we travelled along the line, we stopped at a station and the guard shouted out what sounded like Buckenham. As a Norfolk girl, she should have known better. We rapidly got off the train, only to find ourselves at Burney Arms halt, in the middle of nowhere. We only just managed to scramble back on board before the train continued on its way to Reedham and Buckenham. I often wonder what would have happened next. A world with no mobile phones. Father would have waited at Buckenham Station with no idea what had happened to us. even if he had found out the only way to Burnie was by foot or boat. Our only hope would have been to reach the pub at Burnie Mill in pitch black, across the marshes and not dressed for hiking. I have journeyed across the marshes to the mill many times, starting from Wickhampton, often with groups of young people. I was rector of Wickhampton in the 1970s. I am always reminded of the potential nightmare.
Lefties get Fred Smith from Reefham's support. Let's hear it for the lefties. Just heard Rob Walker introduce Judd Trump as the most decorated left-handed player ever. When will people realise it makes no difference left or right? In snooker particularly, everything is symmetrical on the table. I have never heard a right-handed player being introduced as the most decorated right-handed player. I think the implication is that left-handed or left-footed people are awkward or at a disadvantage to people who use the right side of their body. They most certainly are not. Earlier in the tournament, I heard it said that there will be two left-handed players playing. So why has it not been said that there will be two right-handed players playing?
Our final letter this week is a plea from Carol Melling from Trunch. I think the time has come for the letters editor to stipulate exactly what is meant by keep letters short, as many of the now regular writers of letters published seem to think it is okay to copy in whole sections of letters previously published as part of their own contribution. Perhaps the maximum number of words or column inches needs to be set. I appeal to readers to send in interesting letters on new topics and would like to start the ball rolling by this question. Is space junk partly the cause of global warming, and if so, what should be done about it? I have read that there are 30,000 pieces larger than 10 centimetres and 123 million pieces smaller than 1 centimetre floating around in space.